This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Wars Lost and Found this hour. Later this hour, Finding the Experience of War in the Movies, a curious cultural combination of nationalistic propaganda, hyper-realism, perhaps a critique of war's terrible cost, and a celebration of courage, bonding, and loyalty. Movies embrace all of these themes. We will also take a look at the alarming developments in West Virginia's suddenly polluted water system. We'll explore a teaching program that tries to give would-be entrepreneurs in the classroom a bigger vision than just a startup. Disruptive Business 101. We'll be talking about that later this hour. But first, Iraq 10 years ago.
The Marines are now taking heavy, sustained sniper and automatic fire to this building. It began when Marines on the roof saw a group of Iraqis trying to surrender. As soon as they stood up after seeing the white flag, that's when the firing began. In other words, the Marines say it was a trick by the insurgents.
This sound from BBC reporter Paul Wood is fighting around the city of Fallujah back in 2004. Anbar province was lost to Sunni insurgents back then and then regained after the Pentagon pursued an aggressive counterinsurgency strategy in 2008 and 2009. Today, Fallujah has fallen to al-Qaeda, flying a flag of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, along with other towns in the so-called Sunni Triangle, having defeated Iraqi government forces over the last few weeks. Michael Zakia, what does that make you feel like as you hear those sounds from 2004, which are probably very familiar to you, and take a look at the landscape today?
Yes. I had a very unique job. I was part of a team that led and trained and led in combat the first Iraqi Army Battalion in the U.S. military. When President Bush said, as they stand up, we will stand down, and he was specifically talking about me and my team of Marines. And, you know, I really thought that the Iraqi Army and police would put up a better show of defending the city. You know, that's exactly what we were training the Iraqi army and police to do, would be to defeat al-Qaeda and the insurgents. And it appears now that, you know, they basically gave up without a fight.
So let's just remind our audience, Michael Zakia is severely injured in a firefight back in 2004 in what we now know as the Second Battle of Fallujah. There have been many battles for Fallujah since. Also with us is Benjamin Bush, who served two combat tours in Iraq as a Marine Corps infantry officer. He's the author of the memoir Dust to Dust. He retired as a lieutenant colonel, Benjamin, but as a major in Iraq and Anbar province and Fallujah, how does all of what's going on right now make you feel?
Well, in 2005, a year after Michael was in Fallujah, I was in the city of Ramadi. And, you know, it was a cruel tour. We had terrible casualties. But our hands were tied due to international condemnation of the Battle of Fallujah, which had taken place a year before. And our mission essentially was to keep Ramadi from becoming a second Fallujah with almost all the same threat conditions. And at a certain point, you know, some of us simply localized our war. You know, Iraq was too immense an expanse to comprehend from the violent streets of Ramadi. It became mostly imaginary, so we just made it smaller. We thought the rest of Iraq may fall apart, but we'd hold this city. We would keep Ramadi. And to hear of it falling now, especially to al-Qaeda, is particularly disturbing.
Disturbing in what sense, personally? I mean, I really want to get into your sort of heart here. I mean, yes, you know, it's a setback for whatever strategic mission you might have had, but it also represents, I mean, if you died over there, this would have been a completely meaningless experience.
Well, my friends did die over there.
Right.
And so it is a meaningful experience that way. You know, you want, even in the complicated war that it was, and, you know, the very quickly disproven purpose of it, we were continually sent there, you know, despite wavering support and then finally an absence of support for the war fairly quickly. We stayed for 9 years, and we know people in Ramadi. You know, we really did, with our blood and with our time there, try to do something that mattered. Try to do something which had sustainability, that would leave an impression of us that was not as an aggressor, that was as a friend. And to see the city fall to, of all of all groups, Al Qaeda, our greatest enemy, seems to erase so many of those lives, so much of that effort from me. You know, I remember June 16th when, you know, a good friend of mine was killed by an IED a few vehicles in front of me. They just picked his. That was the randomness of death in that fight. And, you know, I haven't forgotten the smell of the smoke, the taste of dust in my mouth, the sound of the static on the radios, and suddenly his absence from the radio chatter. You know, that was his disappearance. And it was there, you know, June 16th, 2005. I don't want that to mean nothing. And I don't want to imagine that what we tried to put in place was so easily erased, I guess.
David Retzky, your thoughts about Anbar province and the setbacks recently and the inability, apparently, of Iraqi government forces to sustain what you tried to do in 2004 and 2005.
Well, when I was in Iraq, I was not with the Marines. I was not up in the Anbar province at all. So maybe it's because of this that I hold a slightly more optimistic view that we may have lost the land over there, but it seems like we may have kept the hearts and minds of some of the people. News reports just today said that thousands of people are leaving the city and trying to get away from Al-Qaeda. So possibly the Marines, what they set up, everything they did there to bring about peace and change there may have made the Iraqi people realize we were trying to help. And when Al-Qaeda came in, the Iraqi people are now seeing how bad it was under them and how much better it was when we were there.
Well, I have no way of evaluating what you're saying, David, but I'd be very interested to hear what Benjamin or Michael think of your assessment that there might be a silver lining here. Benjamin, Michael?
I can't talk about the people in Fallujah, but I think that Maliki is not the guy that we want running Iraq. I believe that he is a client of Iran, and he is increasingly becoming dictatorial. He's not a Democrat by any stretch of the imagination. He's not beholden to democracy the way we had hoped to implement democracy in Iraq. So the Sunnis actually have a legitimate gripe, and Al-Qaeda saw an opportunity to take back the city, and they did.
So the U.S. has set up an individual who's basically created an opportunity for Benjamin Bush, the person you perceive as your greatest enemy, to come in and take over lands where you lost some of your dearest friends.
Yeah, and I would agree with both of their assessments. Actually, you know, near the end of U.S. military presence, we were considered a kind of a neutral asset that the Anbari tribes could influence to protect themselves from Shiite central government control and persecution, as they perceived it. You know, the troops that we brought in, the Iraqi troops, they almost considered to be as much occupying forces as the American troops because they'd been recruited from Shiite areas. And as well as being a force they could use to overwhelm foreign fighters and Al-Qaeda, they considered to be dangerous trespassers, and they still do. And that was the Anbari awakening, which took place, I guess, in 2007, really, to any effect. And I agree completely with what Michael's saying. The problem now is the tribes despise Maliki's government almost equally, and they are having a hard time allying with their own national troops to expel Al-Qaeda. And we've taken ourselves out of the equation. They don't have anyone else to reach out to. And you know, it's difficult.
So for the three of you, if you had President Obama's ear, what would you tell him? I mean, is this a failure on his watch of something that you started a decade ago? David?
In my opinion, I don't know if I'd use as harsh words as failure, but the strategy was not sound for us leaving. We may have left too hastily. We may have thrown the kid in the pool and said, now it's time to sink or swim. And we may have just been a little too hasty here. We should have had a better contingency for getting out other than pulling everybody out and wishing them luck as we close the door.
Michael Zakia?
Yeah, in 2006, I testified before a joint field session of the House and Senate Armed Forces Committee, and I said then that historically it takes 10 years for an army to gel and to become self-sustaining and capable of conducting independent operations on its own. From the day that we started the Iraqi army, which is basically April 1st of 2004, we're just shy of 10 years now. So what happened was the reason that we pulled out of Iraq is the status of forces agreement was up, and Maliki wanted to put American troops under Iraqi law, which is basically Sharia law, Islamic law. And there's no way that President Obama could give up legal sovereignty of U.S. troops to, you know, basically an Iranian client. So, you know, it was a diplomatic impasse, and President Obama was correct in not giving Maliki legal jurisdiction over American troops. Probably what should have happened is that when they negotiated the Status of Forces Agreement, it should have been a 10-year agreement.
Benjamin Bush, final thoughts. What would you tell the president?
Well, I totally agree with what Michael just said. It was a diplomatic impasse, and I don't know about drawing lines in the sand and time. You know, we look at us, we're going into our 13th year in Afghanistan right now, and we still have to imagine that that army is not capable of independently handling the Taliban. Iraq is in a strange position of having a number of outside players involved. Iran is very powerfully involved in Iraq, of course. And, you know, Turkey is now involved. We have an awful lot of spillover from the Syrian rebellion, which is really fueling the troops, which are now arriving in both Ramadi and Fallujah. Their power base is the chaos of Syria. You know, what advice can you give? I know that the U.S. just recently pulled back an arms sale to Maliki's government because they felt that you know, Maliki would use it against his enemies, being some, you know, in some cases and more likely Sunnis. So the perception of Iraqis, as I have it right now, is they actually believe that the U.S. is in cahoots with Al Qaeda, which is just a terrible feeling, that's the rumor within Iraq. And they think we've left them entirely alone.
Benjamin Bush served two combat tours in Iraq as a U.S. Marine Corps infantry officer. He's the author of the memoir Dust to Dust. Michael Zakia is a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel. And David Retzky is a former UAV pilot who served in Iraq from 2004 to 2005. David, Michael, Benjamin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.